Oh, my goodness. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. And God, we just give all thanks to you. And I pray you, just as the song said, we just say, come Holy Spirit, just wash over us and reveal yourself. And we just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we're saved through him. Lord, and I just pray that you would just visit with us and open our hearts to really that we could see you clearly and just use your time to glorify you. And I pray you anoint me with the Spirit. I have say nothing of the flesh and just be able to speak and you'd open hearts to receive what you have to say. So we give thanks to you, dear Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking at chapter 9, John chapter 9. And I don't know, there's 40-some verses. You're going to love this. We're going to read them all. Okay, the whole thing. Okay, 40 verses. So we're going to look at the chapter 9. So turn to chapter 9, all right? And because we're going to be going through that. Let me read the verse to open this here. John 9:25. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. Now, chapter 9 is all about a man born blind and Jesus heals him. The whole chapter. So it's his account. This is his account. It's one account, okay? And, you know, it's kind of like Jesus is walking through town, and this is one account of what Jesus does at this particular time. And so Jesus, we've already read, has declared himself as the great I am, the light of the world. And now in chapter 9, he proves it. Okay? You've heard kids who put up and shut up or shut up. You know, he puts up, you know. He proves he is the I am. And people are still not convinced. And in fact, you'll see that they're a little more confused than they ever were. So what we want to do to stay true to Jesus' intention, we're going to walk through all of chapter 9, okay? Because it's one account. It's just one account. And then to go through all of chapter 9 to understand the atmosphere, understand the miracle, and to understand the lesson that he's giving to us. And so it's a whole chapter. So let's just walk through and see how he does this. Now, so there's not going to be a lot of overheads, but you can just follow along the narrative as we read this. So starting off in verse 1, it says this, John 9:1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know, there is so much wrong with this statement, you don't even know where to start. I mean, you got to be kidding me. And by the way, it's his disciples, okay? These are the 12 guys he picked. You know, it just is, okay? Now, but what it does do, this reveals the thinking at the time. So these are nice Jewish boys, grew up in Jewish homes, and it reveals the thinking of the time and the Jews' strict adherence to the law and the sovereignty of God. And this is the type of question that was debated. But we're going to see Jesus' answer to this complicated question would be so stunning that the human mind can't even comprehend what he said. I mean, he's just going to cut them at their knees, and then they're not going to have a clue what's happening here. And Jesus said in John 9:3, Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him.
Now, everybody think about this. Think about this. He gave them an answer. The religious man born blind, his parents sin or did he sin? Is that the reason he was born blind? Okay, that's the world, that's religion, that's, you know, human thinking. And then Jesus says, no, this was so that we could see the works of God. Now, underline works, because he used works. This is a big deal. As I read through it, I saw that word is important. They said, no, that the works of God would be displayed. So he answered the world's problem right there. I'm just pausing so it can soak in, and you're going to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. See, Jesus says that this infirmity, a man born blind, was an opportunity for God's work to be displayed. He says, this is not a problem. This is an opportunity. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, again, notice the term works of God. This is an opportunity for the works of God. So you got a broad meaning there. You have a broad meaning there. Now, Jesus' words caused my mind to be flooded with questions. All right? And I can't answer them. I cannot answer my own questions. This has just come to me. But what I know, speaking for myself, I believe every word in the Bible, and I believe Jesus. I believe that. And he said, all right, this is an opportunity for God's works to be displayed. That's what he said. Now, so what I see here, since we can't answer the world's problems, how many of you are trying to answer the world's problems right now? All right. Did you know that wasn't your responsibility? I just want to pass that on. It wasn't. So, since we can't answer the world's problems, we should take Jesus at his word and apply what he said to our life. That's who he's talking to. He wasn't trying to solve the world's problems. He's speaking to his disciples. He is speaking to us who call upon Christ. That's right. So, if you would join me to discard the world's problems, okay, and let's just talk about me and you, okay? Me and you. I think that, you know, 40 of us in here, we have enough discussion to talk about this with the 40 of us rather than the billions of people in the world. All right. We will leave the billions of the people in the world to God's hands. And so let's look at what he's telling us here. Now, the principle here, based on what Jesus said, the principle here is that this man's infirmity, our personal infirmity, so we pull ourselves into this. See, it's a group deal. It's a believer's deal. Those that trust Christ. This principle here is that the man's infirmity, our personal infirmity, is an opportunity to see the work of God displayed. That's what he said. He said it to us. He didn't say it to the world. He said it to us. This is an opportunity to see the work of God displayed. So, take at his word. All right, God, that's what you're doing. This is what you're doing. There's no surprise. There's no grief. There's no sorry. No, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to see God. See God. Now, in this particular account, this man was healed. He was totally healed. And yet, he was totally healed, but we've also seen lots and lots of people that aren't healed. They're not healed. However, we have also seen multitudes, include ourselves in here, of people that overcame their infirmities and displayed the work of God. Have we not? I'm hesitant to say all of us, but it's close to say all of us. We had certain infirmities, whatever we see those be, from being born blind to whatever, that whole realm, and God uses those infirmities, our infirmities, we overcome them and we show God's work. See, we're all witness of God's that, and that's the message. I'll show you the extreme, and I can do it with the extreme, but I also can do it in everything in between to get there, to overcome that. Now, in what God does, God's work, as we overcome those infirmities, he uses these infirmities so God can work through us to be the people we're supposed to be. I didn't hear anybody say, amen, brother. Amen. That's what, that our infirmities, which God brings us through, and we overcome, God uses those to be the men and women God wants us to be. I was reading this morning again, and this is a verse that just popped to me, actually, this morning, just before the service, and Paul is talking about, blessed to the God of comfort, who comforts you, you know, in the comfort we received. See, that means something had to hurt, and something had to happen, and something had to cause pain, and he comforted you. Now, he says, I can comfort you. I'm going to just share something with you. Now, I encourage any of you that desire to be in a pastoral role to remember that. You want to be a pastor? Let me prepare you. There's this guy. This is true. And this kid came up to this pastor and said, listen, pastor, I want to be just like you. And I want to do the things you do. And he was so excited. And said, I want you to pray that anointing upon me. He said, all right, come here, son. He went up here. This is true. This is, you can find it. Laid hands on it. Dear God, I pray you take away this boy's health. Dear God, I pray you break his heart. And dear God, I pray he loses family. And the guy goes, kid goes, what? He slapped his hand off his head. What are you doing? He said, you want to be just like me. That's what this says. This is where Jesus is coming from. I see. So the principle is that a man's infirmity, our personal infirmity, is the opportunity to see God work. And there, as God be able to work through our own lives, we're able to share with others. You know, it's like going to get marriage counseling from somebody that's never been married. He might have some principles, but I'm saying, hey, brother, you ain't there yet. You ain't there. You know, you need a little time married, at least 30 minutes before you start helping people. And 30 minutes will start you, I promise. I promise. Okay, so here you see the whole point that God uses our own infirmities to mold us to be the person he wants us to be. But we also need, now here's something really important, and we see it here, but we also need to understand in that principle that God can work in others no matter their weaknesses. Ain't no way God could use them. Oh, my God. Or that's too terrible. They can never get out of that. It's just too bad. I mean, you just I'll grieve and cry with you. They just can't come out of that. But God goes, no, this is an opportunity. opportunity, no matter what the weakness may be. Now, I'm going to give you an example of the principle. We see how God does this. And we're going to take note of the work God displayed through Nick Vocek. Nick Vocek. You can have the overhead. Nick Vocek was born without any arms or legs. He has no arms, no legs. Nick is a Christian and has shared Christ in 14 countries, speaking to over 2 million people. He's born with no legs and no arms. But you can check, they have great testimonies. See? This is John 9:3. It was not this man who sinned, or his parents, but it was that the works of God might be displayed in him. That's what it is. See? The principle is there. And God's giving that us so that we can see. Now, in Christ, we know then, when we realize what Jesus said, because that's exactly what Jesus was saying. This is exactly what he was saying. This is exactly what he was showing. And he was giving an immediate physical example for us. In Christ, we all have hope and purpose. Now, how many of you are going to walk out of here after this message and bellyache? I mean, don't do it for a little bit. I mean, the fact that you walked out, you shouldn't bellyache. Oh, by the way, I'm talking to me. I don't think I'm not talking to myself here. And you're saying, but we're looking at, I mean, can you see already that chapter 9 of John is taking a whole different color, what Jesus is trying to show the people here, the people there in the Gospel of John. And Jesus also says in this same section, he tells the disciples, he tells them this, he says, the time's short, and as lights of the world, we need to share the light of Jesus, giving hope and purpose to others. Okay, the time's short. We need to be telling people about this. All right? Now, are any of you thinking, hey, say, well, how do you get through this? How do you carry out this ministry? How do you share with people that are just like Nick? How do you share with those people? We know what we're supposed to do with ourselves. We're supposed to go before Christ and Christ transforming us to be us the person he wants us to be. See, he's doing, you all know that. He's doing that to each one of us. But we need to see it in others. And how can we share with others? Like Nick. How can we share with others? Well, now Jesus tells us how. Jesus tells us how to carry out this ministry of hope. All right? I'll read this to you. John 9:6-7. Having said these things, Jesus spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, go wash your face. Actually, he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went and washed his face and came back seeing. That's the ministry. That's the example he gave us. That's the ministry, okay? Now, we know, don't we? The gospel of Christ and the power of God. We know that, okay? Here Jesus gives us an example of how to share the power of God. Spit on the ground, make mud out of the saliva, and rub it on his eyes and tell him to go wash his face. Now, what is Jesus telling us? You know he's not telling us specifically to, although I'm sure there are people who have claimed that, walking around with a bucket of mud. You just know it. You just know it. But Jesus is telling us something else. He's giving a picture of what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to act. And what he's telling us here, he's telling us to share wherever you are. He's in a group of people. He's walking. He's just telling you, share wherever you are, whatever the time, divine appointment, share wherever you are. Use whatever you have. Use whatever you have. And the big one, touch the person's infirmity. Touch the person's infirmity. Spit and made mud, and he rubbed it on his eyes. He touched his infirmity. Now, remember, these are past teachings we've had. Remember, Jesus said he only did what the Father told him to do. Now, process this. God tells Jesus, hey, Jesus, I want you to go over to this guy. Do you think Jesus said, he goes, Jesus, go over here. I want you to spit on the ground, make mud, rub on his eyes. Do you think Jesus said, come on, God. Come on. But the fact of it is, Jesus said he only did what the Father told him to. I ask you, why did Jesus spit on the ground and make mud? Why? Father told him to. Father told him to. Now, there's a big key. That's the reason. I always tell them, this is the reason you should read the whole Bible. I hate people. Well, God wouldn't have told him that. I would have said it different. Don't say that to me. I really get upset, and I do unchristian things, you know. But so, don't tell me that. But he knows it's specific. You do, okay, this is what God said. Now, so you look at this, and my goodness, God said. Now, here's the principle. When you're in that situation, if you read and get the context, God will tell you what to do. God, I'm with a guy. He's been born blind. Lord, what did you do? Be on the ground, make my poons. Okay, whatever you say. But what God told him to do. See, what does that tell you? When you're in front of somebody that's born blind, say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? That's the first thing. That's the first thing. Now, God will tell us what to do. So we want to step into that situation. Now, I'm going to share something with you. To me, it means the same thing. Hopefully, it'll communicate to you a similar situation of an infirmity or a blockage that you just can't get through, you know. My dad, some of you have seen pictures, was a cowboy. I mean, down and out, cowboy, like on television, cowboy. He was just amazing to be raised. Raised on a ranch all his life. That's all he knew. He didn't know anything else. His whole life has been riding horses and working cattle. And he didn't have to talk to a lot of people, which also pleased him. All right? And so that's how he was raised, his whole life. And there was no church involved. Not negative, not critical, just wasn't involved. And I would try to share the gospel with him so many times. And I mean, God bless him. It just a real nice conversation. I just walk away eating my words. I just nothing could penetrate. I mean, nothing. And probably it was the person delivering it to me, but unbelievable. Well, as he was coming to the end of his life, I flew out to New Mexico, and for the sole purpose to try to share Christ with him one more time. Just one more time. I mean, he literally was like the man born blind. I mean, just nothing. Just nothing there. So as I was praying in the plane, I went up. I'm going on my way to New Mexico. And I said, God, nothing works. Nothing. All the classes, all the nothing works with him. not a thing. He just doesn't get it. And I said, God, you're going to have to give me an example using a horse and a cow for him to understand. You're going to have to give me an example with a horse and a cow. Now, I don't have time to go with you through everything that happened, but God gave me an example with a horse and a cow to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my dad, at 83, accepted Christ. When you're faced with a person with blind, ask God what to say. It may be, give the gospel using a horse and a cow. Using a horse and a cow. Yeah. And he prayed to receive Christ. See, that's what I'm saying. The principle is there. And people, I'll tell you, blind people are the ones that, well, golly, he said he was born to show the display of God, but what about all the people in the world? And you can't even take care of your own household. You see what I'm saying? Let's zero in where the problem is. Now, you all have all known that I've confessed that I've found the common denominator of my problem. And it's me. So I want to try, when I read the scripture, I start with me, and I let God worry about the world. Okay? And I really am having a lot of issues with me. See? You see what I'm saying? So look at it the way God intended it, and then you start seeing the truth of it, and then you start seeing the power of it, and then God starts speaking to you to do the impossible. Which was the greater impossible? Blind man, see? Nick, share the gospel to 2 million people? Or my dad to believe? So the same thing. It is exactly the same thing. It is exactly the same thing. Now, so we see how God is unfolding here. Now, what's the lesson? The lesson is, wherever you are, use whatever you have, mud, a cow, and a horse. Wherever you are, use whatever you have. And listen to this. This is so important. Touch people where they are. Needed to count a horse to touch my dad where he was. See, touch people. Don't try to bring them to you. You go to them and you bring Christ to them and you touch them in their infirmity. Touch their eyes. Talk about a cow and a horse. And God will do stuff that you never imagined. Now, so what we have, and once you do that, things happen. Once you do that, things happen, okay? So I'm just going to read through this. This is what happened. I mean, you're thinking, wow, the whole town came to know Jesus. Not quite. Starting in John 9:8-23. Just go with me. It's an interesting account about Jesus. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is he. Others said, no, but he's like him. He kept saying, I'm the man. So they said to him, then how were your eyes open? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go wash my face. So when I went and washed, I received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He goes, I don't know. They brought the Pharisees to the man who had formerly been blind. So they got the religious guys in. Now, it was the Sabbath day. You can't work on the Sabbath day. Now, it was Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened the eyes. So the Pharisees asked him how he received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man's not from God. He does not keep the Sabbath. Oh, I want to curse. You have got to be kidding me. Can't be. Now, this is legalism and religion at its worst. These people ain't going to where they are. Now, he could stay blind before they'd make mud. Okay. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such things? What are you talking about? And then there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? He said, he's a prophet. And what does that tell you? What does it tell you? He didn't have a clue who Jesus was. He didn't have a clue. Put that in your theology and take a walk. He didn't have a clue who Jesus was. Anyway, said he's a prophet. See, and he's a prophet. Now, also this is a point, another note I made. This is a lesson to people, religious people, okay, that tell the hurting, you just need more faith. Don't ever do that. You're a tool of Satan when you do that. That's the last thing they need to hear. Don't tell them they need more faith. All right? Now you can walk with them into the presence of God. Anyway, just a note there. It's cruel when people do that. Okay. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight. And they asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We were there. Okay. But how he now sees, we do not know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak. Yeah. Now, example, gosh, this is such an example of blatant unbelief. In 9:24, it says this. So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. Excuse me. The religious leaders know he can see, know that Jesus made him see, and he says, we know this man's a sinner. Blatant unbelief pushes people to greater unbelief. They don't just, it's kind of like believers. You take a step into the light and continue. You take a step into the darkness, you continue. See, perfect. I just can't believe these guys said this. I could have said anything but this. Yes, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. Now, this man has the perfect answer. I mean, you know, he doesn't even know who Jesus is. Evidently, this guy knows nothing, all right? He has the perfect answer to this guy. The perfect answer for us than anybody that denies Christ. Perfect answer when people say, why do you believe that? 9:25. We haven't over yet. 9:25. He answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. That's it. That's the answer. That's the answer for every one of us in here. Okay. I don't know. One thing I do know. I mean, I can stand up in front of all of you and say this and mean it with all my heart. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. I know that. Nobody can take that away from me. Nobody can convince me otherwise. I don't care who it is. I can't hear it is. See, this verse, like, gives me strength. I don't care who I'm talking to. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. So, the indisputable answer to the world. This is the indisputable answer to the world. God's work, our story. That's the answer. God's work, our story. You have a story. If you don't, you better go on your knees before Jesus. Because to belong to Jesus, you have to have a story. Have to. See, we say, and then we say, we may not know a lot, but then we say, one thing I do know, that though I was blind, I now see. And this is why Jesus calls us witnesses and children of God. And to be a child of God, you have to have a story. That means at some point you met your father. If you've never met your father, the Bible calls you illegitimate. Fakes. I mean, that's what he says. That's what he says. That's what he says. Now, so their response. Now, you can imagine when he said this to them, they didn't really appreciate that. So in John 9:26, it says this. They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you wouldn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples?" Ooh, that's a dig. That was a little dig, you know. The guy's getting a little smoky now that he can see. All right. And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes." Another little dig. This guy is really getting, you know, pulling his act together. I kind of like this little dig. Oh, no, I just do. It's an amazing thing. One thing he knew, and he knew more than they did. Put that in your pocket. One thing you know, and you know more than they do. I don't care who it is. Any unbeliever. Any unbelievers. And the religious leaders did not respond well to this. They answered him, "You were born in utter sin." Hey, we're going back to the very beginning. We know why you couldn't see, okay? "You were born in utter sin. And you would teach us? You only know one thing. And you would teach us?" And they cast him out. But now here's something really interesting when I notice this. When they cast him out, like when we stand in the truth, they cast him out, Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up. Isn't that interesting? He let him walk through it, and he made them stand blind, but now let's see. They cast him out, and Jesus shows up. See, sometimes, if you're like me, you want everything working perfect, and Jesus show up. And Jesus doesn't show up like that. He usually shows up when you hit rock bottom. Now, that's just the truth and the experience. And then he shows up, and it's you and Jesus. See, it says this. Jesus heard that they cast him out. And having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Okay, I'm making a point because it's just an irritation to me. Okay, all you faith people. You got to have faith. You got to have Jesus. Okay, don't tell hurting people they need faith. It's cruel. It's cruel. See, Jesus came in. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he? Who is he? Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and is he who is speaking to you?" He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Now, what we have, what is the point? We know how to share the gospel, and we know how the power of God, and we know how you can go through the four steps and get people there, you know, and keep you just biblically, doctrinally, absolutely correct, all right? And you're going to find out, like I did many times, and for me, most of the time, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I've got 4 points to Jesus. After point two, people quit listening. And I don't get the 4. See? And it's because I don't do it like Jesus did it. See? Dear God, give me an example with a cow and a horse. And he answered that. But I gave all of the systematic theology before. See? But give me an example of a cow and a horse, and he gives it to me. He gives it to me. I wish I had time to share with it. I have it written down. You go, "You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me." See, so what we have here, God is telling us something. He's giving us a principle about how we are to function in this world. How we're to function in the world. And by the way, this world, any part of it, doesn't function except with him. You see? So we need to bring him into the equation. Anything we come up with. So Jesus declared himself as light of the world. He gave us a physical example of being the light of the world with the man born blind. And you know what? We were before we became Christians, people born blind. That's the spiritual. He gave us a physical picture. You see, it's bigger. It's bigger. Bigger. And I think some of you are in a place, you know, I don't want to give you this encouragement to where you are. You need to ask God for an example with the cow and the horse. That's what you need. You need to go where they are, not where you are. Where you are. Now, so we're going to leave here with 2 verses. I think you need to grasp in this whole section, chapter 9. And chapter 9 is fun to read. I mean, it's kind of like a novel. Just the way people are, you know, just like what Jesus does. It's kind of amazing. But these 2 verses you need to grasp, I think, in John chapter 9. And the first one is John 9:3. And what it says, this happened so that the works of God might be displayed. That's what Jesus said. Now, what you think of a situation, a person, a family member, whatever, that is impossible, crippling, and corruptive that you see no hope for. God goes, no. That was so. Listen, I'm telling you, that was so that God could display his works. You see what I'm saying? It's an opportunity. Well, he's blind. That's an opportunity. Can you imagine Nick's mom and dad when they was born? He had no legs and no arms. It was tough on them. It is an opportunity. See, this is, we don't think like that. We don't think like that. I don't want to be sad. I don't want anybody to make me mad. I don't want to hurt. I want everybody to be nice to me. You know? It's like, God goes, the boy needs a lot of work. And right now, it's not the boy, it's the old man needs a lot of work. Because he's got to understand that everything that came his way was to make him into the person I want him to be. And that's what he's done to y'all. Every one of them. And that makes you, gives you the capacity to speak to other people, to help walk them through, that God can make them everything he wants them to be. See, this is the way God works. This is the way God works. So, this happened that the works of God might be displayed. Or stated another way, our weakness is our strength. Our weakness is our strength. The other verse is, one thing, 9:25, one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. All about Jesus. You think, I'm not even going to list them. It's just, I mean, some of them are so gross, you don't want to say them. All the moral problems in the world, all the things going wrong in the world, all these things. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. They need Christ. They rejected Christ. And this is where you go when you reject Christ. This is where you go with human wisdom. This is where you go with human intellect. See, that's where you go. You need Jesus in every situation. Jesus is the answer. And the basis is our story. Our story is evidence that you know you sitting here trusting Christ is an absolute miracle. You were born blind. And somewhere along the line, somebody told you about a cow and a horse. And you accepted Christ. And it came to where you were, your situation, and who you are. And there it is. The man born blind gives us a physical example of how Jesus is the light of the world. And our story is evidence. And we'll close with this, John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. And Lord, this is so large, this is so big as we look at it. And to be able to move in this, we have to have a really, really, really big God. We have to have a big God. We have to have a powerful God to see this work. But when we have a big God, we can see how the big God, any problem, our own problems, other things, infirmities. You've seen people. I just go through infirmities that people have. You can know this is an opportunity for God to display his work. Did you notice it didn't say this is an opportunity for God to heal him? It didn't. That was on purpose. That word work is on purpose. This was an opportunity to display God's work so they could be like Nick and speak to 2 million people with no arms and no legs. That's a God's work. It's not God's healing. It's God's work. And God's work is different than healing, although he can certainly heal. But he works in every believer. And what you came into the world with, he works through that. Oh, why was I born in this family? Because you have great communication to other people that have been through similar situations. And you can show compassion. And you would never dare say, oh, just have faith. You would never be that cruel. You'd automatically go and walk with them and touch them at their hurt. At their hurt. And then they would come towards Jesus before they even know his name. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your word. Lord, oh, we need to hang on every single word, because there's powerful truth there. You're telling us the depths of how you work. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for caring enough about us. Caring enough about us to open our eyes. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand up. You're dismissed. And go have the bagels and enjoy yourself. Meet somebody you hadn't met in a while. And be excited that God touched you.